You're listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amswell.
Welcome to the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amsoil. We have a very special guest joining us today. I'm very excited about this one. You know him from Snowcross and Off-Road. Before we get started, just wanted to remind you that you can head over to Amsoil.com when you spend $50 or more. Enter promo code FREESHIPSNOWX at checkout, and you're going to get free shipping. Now, without further ado, you know him from Shearing Speed Sports, the professional snowcross team, but also in the summer months, he is a UTV driver also racing under the Shearing Speed Sports awning. His name is Elliot Burns. Elliot, thanks for joining us. How's it going today?
Oh, it's pretty good. Just another day up here in the Northland of northern Minnesota, doing a little contract work with Mr. Shearing and getting ready for this season to inevitably, hopefully, kick off here.
Nice. So you've been hanging out in Aurora since the snowcross season ended.
I have. We got back that following weekend, and we kind of just sat down and decided snowcross season's probably going to be over after Grand Rapids. So we started working on some UTV things and trying to get the ball rolling for what we could for as much as people are moving right now.
Elliot, what are your roles with Shearing Speed Sports? What do you do in the summer months and what do you do in the winter months?
Well, the summer months is just, it's more driving, racing, and then Steve also has some contracts with the Forest Service for doing bulldozer work. So I'm actually, that's what we're doing right now is some bulldozer work, and then we'll race all summer. And once racing starts to wrap up, we get closer to the fall, go on snowmaking duty and start getting guns ready and heydays. And there's just always so much involved, whether it's the racing side or Steve's excavator's broke. And if I'm absolutely 100% bored in northern Minnesota, I head home.
Yes, you're busy all winter long, and of course you're on the road or you're busy at the shop at Shearing Speed Sports in the summer months. How much time do you actually get to spend at home in Michigan?
I last summer was not a lot. I was up in northern Minnesota almost every week, but hopefully we change some things, and I'd like to get home more. I really want to spend more time hanging out with my daughter and my family and my girlfriend and stuff, so that's definitely the most important to me is hanging out with her and being the dad, doing the dad stuff.
Yeah, and like you said, you're from the UP of Michigan. What actually brought you to the sport of off-road? How did you actually get involved? Did you used to work for a team, or how did that all work out?
Yeah, so in like 2010, a good friend of mine worked for Chad Horde, and who, for those of you that don't know, long time pro light, pro two, pro four truck program. And they needed a hand. It was like 2009, 2010. And so I went along, just as a weekend warrior, kind of to check out the off-road scene. And I had been to the races, being Bark River and Crandon are so close to home for me. I knew about it. I knew plenty about it. I just had never been on a team. So they had a spot open up, and within the course of 8 to 9 years from there, we had everything from building trucks to Chad took on more drivers, got to work with a lot of different drivers in the industry, and some really, really cool people, met some cool things along the way. And Chad's program kind of went a different direction, and I wanted to stick with some racing things. So I was able to talk Mr. Shearing into getting some UTV stuff together and using up those last couple months of downtime to really fill our schedule.
So you talk about, you know, working with Chad Horn and many other different racers, and on top of that, you work with some of the top snowcross athletes in the world. What have you learned from them, guys, that you can use towards your program, your ProMod UTV program?
Just commitment and leaving it all on the track. You know, some of the greats in that sport with Chad Horde and Marty Hart, and those guys, they didn't necessarily win every race, but they left it all on the racetrack. And after a race, you could come back and you could stare into their eyes and realize they felt defeated, but they weren't done, and they were going to go back out the next day and lay it all back out there again. And I guess that's just the passion of the racing, the world of our sports. And I don't know if that's not there as a driver, and every driver that we work with, it gets to be hard to work with them. And that's one thing I've learned, if I'm going to have any success in the sport, is to have the passion and the drive and to be the absolute best at it that I can be. I'm not saying somebody's not going to be better than me, but I am going to be the best I can be at it.
No, this is a pretty cliche comment, but it's said by, you know, athletes and racers from all forms of motorsports, that if you don't get that butterfly feeling when you get on the line or when your game starts, whatever it may be, you know, you shouldn't be there. Like, do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Crandon, for one, will do it to you because you're all sitting still and you're just waiting to jam that skinny pedal and go and hope that you're one of the front cars going into turn one. You know, there's can be 30 of us, so it gets to be a rat's nest headed into turn one. But it's definitely a butterfly feeling, and it's what everybody in those cars does it for. I don't think anybody that straps into whether it's a, you know, off-road or gets on a snowmobile or dirt bike, any kind, I mean, if you don't have that butterfly in you, you shouldn't be on the track because you're not passionate about it. And really, to be behind the wheel or be racing anything, you should have that passion, and that passion should give you that butterfly feeling.
Well, you brought up Crandon. Talk about your first win. It happened at the Forest Pottawatomie Brush Run, your first career win. Bring us back to that day.
Yeah, it was a cool day. It was a buddy, we hadn't got to see the track at all. No practices, nothing. It was just we were going to go to the line, and we were going racing. It was going to be my first full season. Bigger car. That year we switched to the 72-inch cars. A lot of unknowns. It was a car that I had spent more time building and was more familiar with the suspension package and everything, and had a lot more confidence. But I had zero expectation on what was going to happen other than I knew it was going to be really muddy. And that it was. An old trick I had learned from the years of off-road with some paper towels stuffed in every spot I could find in that thing. And we kept racing. It didn't get the greatest of starts. But I had Steve on the radio, and you know, he kind of kept relaying to me. I was moving up some, and next thing I knew, I was in like second. And the guy in front of me was a friend of mine, and I followed him around for a little bit. It was just so muddy, you couldn't see anything. You know, you ripped all your tear off three laps in, so you're driving with your visor up, your eyes are full of mud. And I followed him around for a little bit, and he started smoking. I knew he wasn't going to make it, so I just kind of paced it out and ended up winning the thing. And he pulled off, and we got by clean, you know, just so muddy. There was such an overheating problem for everybody. Cars were so heavy. But I just remember him coming across the radio, and I had won it. The celebration got cut very short because of the rain moving in. So it was like a go to the podium, hurry up, rattle off a few things, and get back to tech and go to the trailer because there was more rain coming and they were trying to finish the day of racing. But it was definitely a cool moment for me. We're going to get some more of them.
You talked about how your passion and your drive is what's going to make you the best that you can be on that. What's the goal for you as far as the UTV goes, and are you looking to make the move up to a pro light eventually?
No, I can honestly say I have no drive to be in a pro light. If I ever had the opportunity at a truck, it would be a pro 2. I've loved pro 2 since the day I worked on them. Just the horsepower to wheelbase to the way that they drive. I really like the way the pro 2s work. The pro lights, they're just, I've gotten to drive one on a track years ago, and it didn't do anything for me. It was bouncy, bumpy, didn't work that great. wasn't my style at all. So, you know, that those if I ever had the opportunity at a truck, it would be a Pro 2. And I forgot what the other part of your question was there.
What's the goal for you as far as the UTVs, you know, before you ever decide to make a step up to the Pro 2? What do you want to accomplish in this class?
Just a consistent front runner and have the opportunity to race for that championship at the end of the season. So I don't want to get to the last race of the year and be like, if all the cards and everything lines out just perfect, I could win this championship. I want to go into the last race of the season like as one of the considered to win it. It's such a stacked field. I heard that the CJ Greaves will be racing Pro Mod this year, so you know, him and Kyle Chaney and Rodney and, you know, Polaris has got Jason Luberg, and there's just the field keeps getting more and more, and there's great drivers, and consistency and just be there at the end to have my name in the hat to win the championship. And I think that would be a great accomplishment, obviously, to win a championship. But, you know, in a realistic standpoint, I want to be in that fight at the end to have my opportunity to win it.
You say you want to have your name in the hat. Well, you're a top five guy. What's it going to take for you to get to that top step, though? What's it going to take to make you really be a championship front runner?
A lot of it's just on it, most of it's all on me. I get real down on myself, kind of like going into the day, and you know, it's all confidence on my behalf, and you know, just kind of talking to myself in my head. Everybody out there is their own worst enemy. Definitely a special type and breed that's able to just tell themselves to get in a thing and
pin it.
Skinny foot down and pin it. And there's a certain bit of responsibility that comes with, you know, being dad and everything else. I mean, I'm more than capable of winning races. It's just I need to learn how to have better conversations with myself and put myself in a better frame of mind coming into the race.
You know, you talk about your daughter. Well, recently you had a daughter. I've had the pleasure of meeting her. She's an awesome girl. But what role does your family play in your racing career?
Well, they're everything to it. If my girlfriend told me tomorrow that she didn't want me to race anymore, then, you know, it was too hard on her. I'm gone a lot. I have my passions and my dreams, but I would hang it up and I would do whatever I had to because she's a real trooper. She deals with me gone a lot and comes up to northern Minnesota and she deals with me working on a car. And Piper's kind of finding her spot in the race program. She's not sure if she wants to be a mud scraper or if she's going to find herself behind the wheel, because every time I put her on cleaning duty or anything, she just wants to find herself into the seat and stand behind that wheel. So give it a couple of years and she's going to be throwing dad aside, and I think I'll be getting a little mini or something for her.
That's awesome. Let's talk about the growth that we've seen in the UTV classes over the last few years especially. It seems like it's really exploded. Can you comment on the growth of that sport?
Well, yeah, it started to blow up when I was still kind of working on truck stuff, and there was a bunch of us that knew it would blow up. Like, the vehicles were getting to be so sporty, so fast, the performance levels, the amount of aftermarket companies that are able to put their products out there, you know, market them to the world, and what better platform than racing? So we knew the sport was just, it was going to explode, and, you know, getting in on a level, and hopefully, you know, it'll get to a point where it's like, you know, a supercross or a motocross type thing, because we have the manufacturers in place to really support, you know, multi-driver teams and have semis just, you know, showing up for just UTVs. Right now we've got a couple, but the potential for UTV racing is there, and it's there because of our speeds. You know, at a track like ERX, a Pro Mod or Pro Stock is as fast as a Pro 2. They're 750 horse, you know. Mm-hmm. So the fan aspect and the ability to, you know, truly what wins on Sunday sells on Monday is true, because we are racing things that are available, the public eye, are available Monday morning at your dealer. So I think that's part of the reason it is blowing up so much.
Well said. Now, of the lineup of tracks this year, ERX, Crandon, Bark River, Dirt City, they're pretty diverse. Which one really challenges you the most?
Well, I was in Green Bay, actually, yesterday, which is just south of Lena, and I was able to swing in there on my way home and kind of check out the track there a little bit. And it's going to be a great UTV track. I haven't raced at it yet, so being that I haven't raced there yet, that'll probably give me my biggest fit. But, you know, Bark River is always super technical. It's got a lot of wide open, but if you get a couple inches of rain that we're notorious for in the Midwest, it's a little slimy. It changes into a different animal. So I would say, though, the one that's going to probably cause me a little bit of issue right now will be Dirt City. And I think we'll try to line up a test date or something there to go get a little bit of data before we head there to race.
Who is your biggest mentor, whether it be a mechanic, a friend, whoever it may be? Because obviously you've spent a lot of time in both the off-road and the snowcross world, and you can utilize a lot of those things and put them into your own racing career. But who is the one guy that really sticks out to you, that has really pushed you and made you to be a top five racer in a very stacked field?
As an all-around, you know, I don't know if I have one guy that, you know, puts it all together for me, you know, like on a racing standpoint. I guess as a mentor, one of my fellow co-workers, and mostly in the winter, but he comes along with some of our summer stuff, is Steve Thorson. Just because he's raced a lot of different vehicles, and he's good at telling me, you know, where I'm not right, and just racing principles. If I, in off-road in general, and me trying to become a better driver, and what am I doing wrong, I still call Chad Hort a lot. We're great friends, I bounce a lot of things off of him as to what I'm doing, and he knows what it's like to struggle here and there, and feel like an underdog. And there's quite a few events where I feel like an underdog, so he's one of my, you know, my top guys. And I don't know, I don't think I have one person that I would say he's the one. You know, I have my group of people that I connect with to ask different things.
All right, Elliot, I got one more question for you, and it's kind of on the lighter side. How do you feel about tires on the side of the racetrack? Because, you know, I've watched you over the past numerous years, and whether it be an A-arm, just a tire, and even your roof, you've seemed to have found a couple tires on the side of a racetrack.
Tires are good. I don't know if I need to get an eye exam or what, but I don't know. Tires have always been a funny thing. When I was a crew chief, one of my guys hit a tire a couple times, and it was like, didn't you see it there? And surprisingly enough, you always think you're clear of them, and that's what it is. Like, you'll see them and you're like, no, I'm clear of it. And boom, you're not clear of it. And it ends your day. The one at ERX luckily was there to kind of catch me. But I got one at Crandon, and I got one at the Haydays race. The one at Haydays was just, that was kind of a pin it to win it. You had to really go for it, and this tire was in my line. But tires on racetracks, they're all right. I wish they should all be painted white, all of them. And they might be. Maybe they change them a different color. I don't know. But at Haydays, that one was black. It blended in with the natural growth.
Thanks for listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by AMSOIL.